question this morning. Do you have strong faith? Do you really have strong faith? Because you're going to examine your faith through the Word of God this morning and see if you had strong faith last year and see if you'll have strong faith this coming year. And there's a way of testing our faith. And God wants us to look at the Word of God, and He gives us an example. He has given us a great example, one of the greatest examples of testing our faith through Father Abraham when he offered up his son, his only son, Isaac, to be sacrificed. You know, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. So God already knows about your faith, but He wants you to know about your faith and how it will be tested. So in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, we know the old story about Abraham taking Isaac up to the mountains to sacrifice him. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, that means test, Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take thou thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into a land of Moriah, and offer him there for an offering, for a burnt offering, upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose early in the morning and settled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood, that means cut the wood for the burnt offering, rose up early and went unto the place which God had told him, the place. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his two young men, Abide ye here with me, with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And listen to what he said, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, said, Father, my father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to a place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou have not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Let us pray. Father, again, we want to thank you for this past year. We want to thank you for all the blessings, the benefit, God, especially for salvation. Lord, for the answer of prayer. For everything, Lord, that we can understand, Lord, that goodness comes from God. And we just want to thank you. Father, we're moving into a year that none of us has never lived. Father, we need you more so than we ever have before. Even in our country, our lives, and our family. Father, we know this morning, God, that you send us a challenge to test our faith. And just to see how strong our faith will be, because we're going to need strong faith for this new year. The new era, Lord, that this country is going into, we're going to need strong faith. So help us to examine ourselves this day, O God, and to understand that we certainly need the faith that you give us and for it to grow. So we want to thank you today in the glory of Jesus Christ. And Father, we just want to say thank you for all the good things you give us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Test. In this chapter 22, you know, we always see the Calvary. This is a Calvary really in chapter 22, the heart of the Father and also the heart of the Son. But for you here this morning, for you and I to understand the test and see if we have real strong test of faith. And we need that. You see, do you want to fly on an airplane? A lot of you have. I don't like flying on an airplane. Have you ever, would you like to fly on an airplane that nobody's never tested? Huh? You wouldn't want to do it, would you? You know, I wouldn't want to do that. And I wouldn't want a doctor operate on me, have never been to medical school and took the medical test operation. Would y'all? It's like a man was going through surgery, and it was his first surgery, and the doctor says, You look like you're a little bit nervous. He says, I am. He says, It's my first surgery. And the doctor says, I know how you feel. It's mine too. So you really don't want to fly on an airplane, never been tested. You know, God wants our faith to be tested, that, you know what, he might bring out the strength in us. But I never did like tests. Did y'all like tests in school? As I said, I always got a little nervous, and probably the reason I did, because I was never prepared for a test. Now, when the teacher would spring that on us, and sometimes you say, well, we're going to have an open book test. Well, that would help me some. But now this morning, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have a test. But guess what? We're going to have an open heart test. We're going to have an open heart test today. Y'all may not believe this, but now I want to ask you a question. Don't hold up your hands. Did you ever cheat on a test at school? Just a little bit. Did you ever cheat on a test at school? I'm glad you didn't hold up your hands. But those teachers are real smart. And us boys, whenever I was going to school, I thought we could outsmart the teachers. Well, I got caught cheating on a test. You don't ever believe that, do you? But I did. One time. Y'all ever cheat more than one time? Well, anyway, the way our teacher caught me was I always sit behind a real smart one, whether it be a boy, whether it be a girl. And I kind of peep over their shoulder sometimes. Y'all ever done that? Anyway, the teacher caught me when she was grading the papers at home. How did she do that? Well, this young man that I was sitting back of, he come to problem number 9. He says, I don't know the answer to this problem. And I put on my paper, problem number 9, I don't either. I never did like tests. I never did like tests. But I'm telling you this morning, whether you like it or not, you're going to be tested. And we're tested every day. And Abraham had to be tested. And it pictures our faith for this new year. Now, God tests us to do good. The old devil, he tempts us to do evil. God tests us to stand. The devil tempts us to fall. But in this story I've just read, and most of us know this story, it's really true to our hearts and our life today, that God says to Abraham, now take thy son and sacrifice him. Now, he had already told him that he's a prophesied this son is going, he's going to have a son in his old age. He was also a promised son. He was a son of his hope. But he said, yet I want you to take that son and I want you to sacrifice him. As I said, this is a preview of Calvary, really of the heart of the Father, as you read this about Abraham, how he had sacrificed or was going to sacrifice his son, and really did in Abraham's heart sacrifice his son. But it's also, you know, for our mothers and fathers and grandparents here today, it should really stir our heart, the deepest of our heart, to know that we have children. And to think about what Abraham did, he got that child, he went on that mountain, and you know what, and took that fire, and you know, and as he was thinking about that night before, sitting around that campfire, and he was thinking about his son, how he loved his son so much, and yet God says, you know, take him up there and sacrifice that son. As you look into that story, it's really a story that really would break our heart to think about that child he loved so much. Now, he had that child in old age. Y'all remember that? Him and Sarah both. Now, you know your children means a lot to you. I know they do. But those of us that have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Now, you don't love your great-grandchildren or your grandchildren any more than your children, but don't they seem kind of special in a different way than your own children did? How about that, Jim? Old Junior knows how it feels, don't he? That great-grandchild, it's just a different blessing, a different feeling. Well, now, see, Abraham had this child at a very old age. Don't you imagine how it felt to have a child at that old? How you have your great-great-grandkids and your grandkids. Well, as he sits around and thinks about this about how that God had blessed him in an old age and how they have kids. And you see, he began to test his heart. Now, he loved that child. You love your children, you love your grandchildren, you love your great-grandchildren. Well, here this morning is an open-heart test. It's a test here of the depth of your devotion. As we move into this new year, through these words of God, it's going to be a test. Your faith is going to be tested by your devotions you have for the Lord this past year and also this coming year that you never lived before. that Abraham's faith was going to be measured, the test of his devotion to God. And you're going to be tested this coming year of your devotion you have to God and your faith that you have in him and devotion you have, because different circumstances are going to come to you in your life. I can assure you that. Ready or not, here they come. And you need to have a great devotion to God to get through this next coming year that you never lived before. As old Abraham tested our devotions. Now, this Christmas, we all probably received a lot of gifts and that God blessed us with. Our families, loved ones, friends gave us a lot of gifts. But you see, God gave us probably the greatest gift. He gave us life, health, and strength, each one of us. We had that this past week at Christmas time. You think about that gift that God has gave us. And all during this past year and all during your life, and a blessing upon this country. But you see, there's a danger when God gives you the blessings and God gives you the family and God gives you the blessings to your family. The great danger is that you see, we become to love the gift more than the giver. That is where our country is this hour. God has so blessed this country in so many material things that we love the gift better than the giver. And we find a lot of parents that give so much to their kids, they begin to love the gifts more than they do the giver. We better understand that the giver is greater than any gift that you may receive, except the gift of life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God is never willing to let anything or anybody come before him. He is not satisfied with a part-time devotion of your life if you're saved. He is not satisfied with a part-time devotion. Test of the depth of your devotion is going to come before you this year. Now, there's nothing wrong with Abraham loving his son because he's supposed to love his son. But you see, the love of his father, you see, is more than important than the love of that son he loved so much. The love of God is so much greater than even the love that we have for our own children, our own family. And that's what God says today. We love our children. We love our family, mothers and fathers. But Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter or great grandchild or grandchild is not worthy of me." What in the world? To love God more is what he's saying. To love God more than we even love our family, because your love of God is more lasting than the love that you have for your family. Because one of these days, the love you have for your wife, one of these days, one of you is going to leave before the other one if you don't leave altogether. That's going to sever that relationship. But your relationship with God will never be severed if you're a saved person. The love of God. We love so much, and we should. And our love for God should be so strong that the love that we have for our family will look like hate upside the love that we have for God. I miss a comparison that he makes in this statement. When we love the Lord, he is first place. And you see, for us mothers and fathers and our family, husband and wife, whatever it might be, your relationship, God needs to be and has to be number one. For you to love your family as you should love your family, God's got to be number one. Because you cannot love your wife, your husband, your family the way you should love your family until God is number one in your life. A lot of people don't know, "Oh no, I love my family." You know, you need to love God first, because when you love him first, you will understand how to love your family. Because you see, we all come to this world with a selfish. We're all selfish. Nothing should take the place of God, first place in our life. Anything that does, anything becomes an idol. Any person or anything that you love more than God becomes an idol. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, you know what it says? Thou shalt have no other God before me. No other God. Abraham loved his son. Now he says, "Abraham, you love that son as a lot of us love our grandchildren or our children." He said, "Now you take that son up, that your beloved son, and you offer him." Now you know what? He's testing you this morning here today. He's going to be testing you this coming year, Pleasant Hill. Is there anything that you love more than me? Jesus Christ is asking you this question as an open heart test. Is there anything that you love more than me this morning? Will there be anything this coming year that you love more than me? Is it your time that you have? Is it your family that you think so much of? Is it the job that you think that you have to go every day and you cannot take time to worship the Lord? Maybe it's your dollar bills. You see, it might even be our home, our pleasure, or whatever it might be. Is there anything that you love more than Jesus Christ? Well, there's a lot of things that a lot of people love more than Jesus because he's not number one in their life. And if he's not number one in their life, there are things that comes in the place of God or Jesus. You know, when Simon Peter, you know, he denied Jesus Christ. No, I don't know that man. He cussed and he swore and he denied him before he was crucified. But after Jesus Christ was crucified and after the resurrection, old Simon Peter and his bunch, they went back to the old life, fishing. Jesus Christ appeared there on the shore, had them a meal fixed for him. Old Simon Peter couldn't wait to get to him. You know, he just come right out where he was. You know, and old Jesus Christ asked him a question after the resurrection. Peter, do you love me more than these? Now, who is of these? Was he talking about the disciples? Could have been. But I wonder if he's talking about his old fishing boots and his old way of life. Anything, do you love me more than these things, whatever it might be? Now, the question is this morning, your open heart test that Jesus Christ is, do you love me more than these? How about these in your life? There's some these in your life that a lot of people love more than they love Jesus. You know, and we've taken this test, Pleasant Hill. Do you love me more than what you do on Sunday night? Do you love me more than what you do on Wednesday night? Do you love me more than what you should be tithing and you're not tithing? Do you love your money more than you love me by giving what I've told you to give? There's a lot of these in our life, and I can't name all of them because I don't know all of them for you. But you see, it might be just that old way of life that we want to go back to. And this is a test here to Pleasant Hill. Do you love me more than these? The test of death of your devotion. Do you love me more than you love these? These things. The blessings that I bless your family with. The blessing that I give you health that you might be here this morning. The blessing, you know, of wealth that you have here today. I love that old song that we sing. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. That is a great song. You know, and life is like a jigsaw puzzle. I know most of us used to, you know, we didn't have a lot of television. We put puzzles together. You get a big puzzle, you know, there might be 10,000 pieces in that puzzle, and you pour it out on the table there. And that puzzle represents your life as a Christian. Now, you just pour all them pieces out, 10,000 pieces there on the table, and you see there's a beautiful picture in the pile of that puzzle, but it don't make sense to you because they're not put together. In fact, you might not even know what the picture's supposed to look like if you don't look at the box. But you got all this puzzle. And you see, that's the picture of our life. A person to refuse to worship Jesus Christ as a saved person. No church, no service, no worship. Their life is just a big puzzle. And nothing's going to ever make sense to a Christian. Or if you lost, it's certainly not going to make sense. But a Christian, even a person that's saved, no time for God, they just got a big old pile of puzzles. And it don't make a bit of sense to them. Well, now some people, they'll start coming once in a while in the church. Well, you ever sit down on that puzzle and you get all the outside pieces and you put it together, that's to start with, you get the outside. Well, that's the way a lot of people is at Christ. They just got the outside of the puzzle put together. Just the outside. But you don't know what the puzzle, you don't know what it's supposed to look like. You just got the outside put together. But the inside, you still don't know what it's going to be about. And then what happens to so many people today, you see, they don't come. They might come once in a while, and when they do, God puts another piece of that puzzle together. And you see, the more that you come, the more of the life that Christ wants us to live for him, the more it comes in view of why God wants us to live for Him. Now, God has given us a service Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And every time we do that and we meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you should be here if you can, He gives you a piece of that puzzle. But now if you omit that and do not come, you're going to hold up that and it's never going to make sense, because you're never going to have all the pieces of the puzzle for the life that God intends for you to live for Him to make sense to you. It will not come into focus, because God is giving us a supper, a full course of supper every week, besides your reading and your study in the Word of God. It is a test of your devotion, the depth of it, how deep does it go? And then the second test is the height of your sacrifice. How much do you want to sacrifice to worship this coming new year? Some new year's resolution? Well, how high will your sacrifice go to worship Jesus Christ this coming year? Mount Moriah was about 2,700 feet high, not a very high mountain. Mount Everest is probably the highest, I understand, the highest peak in the world, Mount Everest. And on May the 29th in 1953, Edmund Hillard, a British man, climbed to the top of that mountain through the cold storm, up the mountain, freezing condition, a lot of difficulty and trouble, and put a flag on the top of that mountain. He have climbed higher than any other human being had ever climbed in this world, because he climbed the highest peak in the world. That was physically climbing. Abraham went a lot higher than he ever did spiritually. Even though Mount Moriah was not that high, spiritually he climbed higher, I believe, than any other man has ever climbed. He is for our example this morning. And by what he done, the test of your faith and my faith today in this new year that we're living. It says in Hebrews chapter 11 and 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried or tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise, that's promise Isaac, offered his only begotten son up. He done that. Oh, Abraham, by faith offered up Isaac. In the heart of Abraham, Isaac was already dead. He did not die, but in the mind, in the heart of Abraham, he was already sacrificed before he ever went upon that mountain. That was settled in his heart, and God knew that. When we love so amazing, so divine, the demands that you and I have for our soul, the love will do anything and any sacrifice that we make for the Lord. Abraham sacrificed his future to start with this coming year. Many people, you know, the height, the test is your sacrifice. He sacrificed his future because all his hope was on Isaac. Ishmael was one of his sons, but not by Sarah. Ishmael was by the handmaiden. And although he loved him, but not like he loved Isaac. He loved Isaac. And he promised him, now he sacrificed his future, because he said, Father Abraham, and in Isaac, all the nations of the world is going to be blessed. That was Abraham's future. But yet he told him to sacrifice your future, Abraham. So this year, as you think about your future, God is calling us to sacrifice our future. He called Abraham to sacrifice our future and his future and our future. That's what's going to happen this coming year today. People are called into service. They're called in all type of services. Not just pastors. Everybody is saved is called into service. Missionaries, it really reaches my heart so much. And the testimony of I've heard so many times. I think about we went to Texas and going down on our mission trip. Sarah and Suzanne got to hear a man to give his testimony. They weren't called to be a preacher, but he gave his testimony. He was had a good job. Is in a mail government, sorting mail. He went on one missionary trip. God touched his heart. He gave up his job. He gave up his future. He sacrificed his future. and he told us how God had touched and worked in his heart. Big old man, about 260 pounds, tears began to come to his eyes as he began to tell us the story how God was so strong in his heart it caused him to give up his future. Well, you know what? He's called us to give up our future. Every one of us to give up our future. You may not understand that, but we're called to give up our future. But not only that, we're called to give up our families. He asked Abraham, he called Abraham to sacrifice and give up your family. And the story you know about, oh, Abraham is getting ready to go up that mountain. And he said, now, Sarah, where's Isaac? Can you imagine why? Why? And I think about the missionaries and not only that, but even the people that gives up things for God. And I think about old Richie Allen, our missionary. Him and his wife, you know what? They give up their home and go live in a hut in Brazil. And they give up their family and their home and everything. They give up their future. They give up their family. You know what? They sacrifice. Also, Abraham sacrificed his fellowship with God. They sacrificed his son. What? It must have come to his mind now, God. Other religions sacrifice their children. But not God telling me to do that. That's other religion. Other religions kill their children and sacrifice to Molech. But here you asking me to give up my child. That must have wanted to break his heart, but it did not, because he knew that God was going to give him back. Abraham and Isaac went up that mountain alone with just them and God. You know, this coming year, there may be some time of us that you might not be this year, might be next year, but sometime they may come right down to it that you might be alone and there's nobody but you and God. You know, it might be in a hospital bed. There's a lot of people say, you know what, doctors, nothing else we can do for you. You know what you got left then? Nothing but Jesus. Nothing but the Lord. You know, that's what God wants us all to get down to. Nothing but the Lord. He went up that mountain alone. The test. The test. How are you doing in your test this morning? How you doing in your test this morning, Pleasant Hill? You see, then we got the test of the length of our obedience. Are you an obedient child of God this morning? Well, he's going to test you, the measure of your obedience, for you and I today. Genesis chapter 22 and 3 that I read, and Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose early and went into the place of which God had told him. Now that was obedience. No hesitation when God tells you something like Abraham, he tested him. There was no hesitation on his obedience. God have told every one of us to do something. And there was no hesitation with him. It was obedience. The greatest proof of our devotion is our obedience to Jesus Christ. The measure of your sacrifice. God commands us to do things. He commands us to come to worship. This is not just a choice what you decide to do to come this morning. Of course, you did decide to. You decided to obey God. I tell everybody this to start with. You know, if you're a saved, born-again believer and a member of a church, you know what? You really don't decide to go to church or not go to church. You decide whether you obey or disobey God, because he's already called you and told you and settled the issue. All you have to do is obey what he's told you to do. So you obey or you disobey, but you have no choice in what God has called you to do. You have a choice in obey or disobey God. And we see that's what happened so many times. He has called us. And the dearest thing that you have this morning, he is asking you to lay at the feet of Jesus Christ. You know what it is? When he asks you to do this, whatever it might be, your time that you're using your time for other things and worshiping God, you need to do it, obey immediately when he tells you this. Because procrastination, putting it off, you know, is a form of sin. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Real obedience is instant obedience. Time he tells you to do it. Time he tells us. You know, a lot of times I put it off. Will you? Yes, sir, I put it off. Instant obedience. I put it off and I wait and I wait and I wait and I wait and I wait. When he tells you to do something, he expects you to do it right then. I wonder how many people you know that I should witness to I hadn't done it. But also, you know, you find that the third thing, you know, is, or the second thing is that intelligence obedience. He's told you, obey the Lord. Abraham says, I heard God speak. You cannot obey instantly if you're not hearing him speak and listening to God. You know what's wrong with the United States? They can't hear God in our country no more. You know what? And very few churches can even hear God speak anymore. Because we don't want to be in a place of obedience and our devotion and our sacrifice. And we want all restraint took off. That's really trying to get God out of everything in our country. They want no restraint on the fallen nature of mankind. No restraint. Get in a place where you can hear God. Intentional obedience. No excuses. You intend to do it, you need to do it. You have not reported for duty. You have been called. You have not reported for duty. God has called you. Did you know church is hurting today? Because people are not doing what God called them to do, Christians. We are hurting here on Wednesday night desperately. A lot of churches hurt so bad they close the doors. Wednesday night, Bible study, prayer time. Many people of our church have had sick family members, been sick themselves. They want this church to pray for them on Wednesday night. And we do. In a hospital, little children, sickness, whatever it might be. I hope the church is praying for them. They want the church to pray for them. And well, you know, that's our greatest responsibility, is to pray for them. But you know, there's many. They won't come and pray for someone else's family. The more people we have come through those doors in the atmosphere of prayer and worship on Wednesday night or any other time, we call these names out. When we offer them up in prayer, the more people you have, the more strength you have in prayer to Almighty God. But that ain't me, that's the Bible. You want someone to pray for you, and you want your name lifted up, because you may not understand it. I explained it to you before. On Wednesday night, we roll people down here in hospital beds and wheelchairs and all kind of things. We stretch them out all over this place, not literally, but spiritually. And we begin to lift these people up. Some people we don't even know. Some people we've never even met. And we say we believe in prayer, and we won't take part in it. You see, we're hurting. We're hurting because are disobedient to the devotion of God on Wednesday night and Sunday nights. Hey, Sunday morning, any time that we relax from this. But you see, a fourth test, you know, is the width of our confidence we have that Jesus Christ has given us. God said to Abraham, now go take Isaac, I make a blessing to you, but you go take him and, you know, and sacrifice him. I give you Isaac, he's going to be a blessing to the whole world, but you take him, now you sacrifice him. He says, what? Yeah. Hebrews 11, 18 and 19, it says, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, according to that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You see, God had already raised him up in a figure. He received him. He was already dead in Abraham's heart and in his mind, but God gave him back. God gave him back to Abraham regardless. Abraham said to old Isaac, you know, Isaac, he says, now you are a miracle child. You are a covenant child. But now God wants me to give you, carry you up and sacrifice you. And it says there in verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and beheld, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. You know what that says to us? You know what it said to Abraham? You know what God really wanted? He didn't want Isaac. You know what he really wanted? He wanted Abraham. You know what God really wants? God don't want your money this morning. God wants you. When he gets you, he's got everything that you have because he's given it to you. He really wanted Abraham. He says, Abraham, you have withheld nothing from me. You know what God said then? I withhold nothing from you. He gave his son back to him. If you love it, let it go. God will give it back to you. Mark 8 and 34 says, and when he had called the people to him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If you, whatever you love, if you will turn it loose, God will give it back to you. And he's asking you to do this morning. Did you pass the test of last year? Will you pass the test of this new coming year? By your devotion, your sacrifice, your obedience, and also your confidence in the Lord by the verses of Scripture that God has given you to remember this day. He's given you a test. He's going to be testing you all year. He's been testing you. And I tell you, I took this test before I brought it to you this morning, and I failed in a lot of places. I had an open heart test, and that's what God is asking us. But the real test now of your life is a test of salvation. If you're willing to take the faith that God has given you here this morning, if you've not saved, never been saved, you know what? God is willing to save you this morning. The test of your salvation is to believe on God. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Would you come this morning? Or either God might have said something to you this morning that, you know what, you might want to come to this altar and give everything to God. That's all he's asked us to do, to give everything to him. Because what do you have that God have not given you? As we come now with a song of invitation, may God speak to you. May God bless you. And not only that, I hope that we pass this test. I hope you know that I pass this test. I never have liked tests. But whether you like it or not, God's going to give you a test. Every day into the circumstance of you and your family, it might be through sickness, it might be through difficulties, it might be through problems, but you're going to be tested this coming year. If you're not already tested, you're going to be. As we sing this song, whatever God has talked to your heart about to you, you need to come right now. Is that where we all should be? When God speaks to you, he wants you to obey instantly. He's speaking to you right now. Whatever God has told you to do, you don't need to keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Thank you. sure God's testing right now your heart. He's tested if you won't obey what He's already told you to do this morning. God bless you. Thank you for being here today, especially our visitors and Crosby family. We appreciate y'all so much. And our his dear wife for playing for us. We appreciate that. God bless you. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother Jim, you might give us a bit of